You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Name one abortion restriction that you might support.
Senator, let me try to respond this way. I have tried to make sure on this important issue for so many people, where oftentimes, again, we have different views, but deeply held views, that I have tried to make sure that I am abiding by the law. Because whether it's a particular restriction or whether it's the whole idea of abortion, whether we agree or not, we have to come to some conclusion.
Feb 25, 2021. The question was simple. Name one abortion restriction you could support. That was posed by Senator Daines to Javier Becerra, who's Biden's nominee to head Health and Human Services. Name one. Just name me one abortion restriction you could support. You didn't hear the answer, did you? What you watched, my friend, was the Becerra dance. And we're going to play more of it for you as we go through the next 2 hours. Abortion is front and center because of the leftist attitude and push and shout, and they don't care about babies who might be on the verge of being born if the mother decides to abort them anyway. This is critical. This is critical to our nation, it's critical to life, it's critical to humanity, and it's absolutely immoral the way the left continues to push this under the guise of women's choice and women's health. Every time I see this issue, my first response is to the woman that goes on and on about it's my body, I can do what I want, I have my own decision to make, I don't need you, I don't need the government, so forth, so on. I nod. I agree. You're right. And if your mother had exercised that same opportunity, you would not be standing here to argue the point with me, would you, in the discussion? But I want you to hear how Senator Steve Daines, Republican of Montana, pressed Becerra repeatedly. And Becerra gets into talking about his mother praying the rosary for him every morning. That is good. I'm glad she does. And, of course, Becerra is Catholic. And where does the Catholic Church stand upon abortion? And, of course, Joe Biden, Catholic, at one time supporting the Hyde Amendment, which would not give federal dollars for the actual abortion. Federal dollars still go to Planned Parenthood, but not federal dollars for the actual abortion. And Joe Biden, a staunch Catholic, did a reverse during the campaign, realizing I can't win unless I basically sacrifice babies to the left and their theory and what they want. That's what he did, friend. Make no mistake about it. We're going to get into that in more detail. And, of course, the left is trying to make sure you understand that the GOP, any Trump supporters, are terrorists, domestic terrorists. Do you consider that you're a terrorist simply because you support the GOP or Donald Trump? Do you think you should be ranked with terrorist activities and nations? Now, of course, they're going to point to the Capitol Hill event. We understand that. And they also point to that Charlottesville, Virginia event where Trump said there are fine people on both sides. They continue to push that lie around as if it were fact that he was encouraging the Proud Boys, the Klan, and others to go on the attack. And he did not. They absolutely ignore the other parts of the quote. We'll get into that. Because the left has suddenly discovered the word hypocrisy. They have discovered the word, but they do not know the meaning. I'm going to give you some very clear examples. they will tell you that's hypocritical. But they never look in the mirror and see how hypocritical they are at any point. And there's so many subjects in front of them right now that they are ignoring because it does not fit their narrative, and they are the ones being hypocritical. And then again, have you heard this? This must be really embarrassing. Must be really embarrassing. Some Democrats want the nuclear codes taken away from Joe Biden. They apparently think that Joe Biden is not capable mentally of handling the nuclear codes. Oh, we'll get into that story. We have a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is CNN Tonight. I'm Don Lemon. And the hypocrisy of the Republican Party is off the charts tonight. And don't start with me about, oh, this is liberal. I'm not a liberal. I'm not a conservative. I'm an American. I don't belong to any party. Okay? But the hypocrisy of the Republican Party is off the charts.
There's Don Lemon of CNN. Don Lemon Fruitcake. Oh, I hope I didn't lose a lot of you when the opening came out and said, this is CNN, and I'm Don Lemon. You're thinking, oh, my God, I got the wrong channel. No, you're with Larry Connors USA. But I wanted you to hear Don Lemon as he begins his monologue last night, his diatribe about hypocrisy. Yes, yes, my friend, the left has finally found and discovered the word hypocrisy. It's been thrown at them numerous times, but they kind of ducked and evaded and just wouldn't pay attention to it. They're very much with hypocrisy, like the word constitution. They don't really know what it is, but they use it when it works to their advantage. That's about it. And in this case, hypocrisy is the latest weapon of the left of Don Lemon Fruitcake and the rest of them. I remind you, in case you have any doubt, when I say Don Lemon Fruitcake, I'm not referencing his sexual preference. I could care less. I'm calling him a fruitcake because he's kind of nutty, and a lot of fruitcakes are full of nuts and crazy things. I think I still have a fruitcake from 1965 I'm using as a doorstop. That's about the only use I can find for them. All right, I went down that rabbit hole. Let's get away from it. Here's Don Lemon talking about how the hypocrisy that exists among the left, and you know where he's taking it? He's taking it because of the response and the challenges to Biden's nominee to head up Office of Management and Budget Neera Tanden. Neera Tanden had made thousands upon thousands of nasty tweets about GOP members and others, and not just GOP members. We'll get to that in a minute. But that is kind of the reason some of the senators, certainly on the Republican side, are questioning her and saying, baby, maybe, and I said baby, I didn't, I'm trying to say, maybe you should not be considered for this position. And how are you going to explain and work with members of Congress with all the things you've said? Now, yes, let's accept the fact right now. Donald Trump made a lot of nasty tweets, personal tweets. I did not like them in many cases. I challenged them. I chastised Donald Trump for them. So I can stand on firm ground and say I'm against any of them. But, of course, the Don Lemon Fruitcakes and that network and others along with them, they're always challenging the Trump tweets. And in this case, they're willing to basically accept Neera Tanden, her tweets, and call out the GOP for hypocrisy because they didn't fight enough against the Trump tweets. It's a sordid circle story they're in. But let's kind of break it down for you. Once again, Don Lemon has found the word hypocrisy.
The hypocrisy of the Republican Party is off the charts tonight. And don't start with me about, oh, this is a liberal. I'm not a liberal. I'm not a conservative. I'm an American. I don't belong to any party, okay? But the hypocrisy of the Republican Party is off the charts. And I'm going to explain to you why. They are suddenly calling for, get this, civility and bipartisanship. Well, civility from the other guys is what they want. While Republicans continue to slam President Biden's nominees.
Yes, that's true. Republicans are slamming Biden's nominees, and particularly Neera Tanden. Now, just because they have found the word hypocrisy, they still don't really know what it means. It's just that it's been thrown at them enough that they suddenly decided, well, maybe we can pick up that weapon and use it. And one of the ones that called out Neera Tanden for some of her remarks was Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana. Here's Senator Kennedy.
I have to tell you, I'm very disturbed about your personal comments about people. And it's not just one or two. I think you deleted about 1,000 tweets. And it wasn't just about Republicans. And I don't mind disagreements in policy. I think that's great. I love the dialectic. But the comments were personal. I mean, you call Senator Sanders everything but an ignorant slut.
That is not true.
I didn't call him an ignorant slut. What Senator Kennedy said, you called him everything but an ignorant slut. I think that part is true, but she did not call Senator Sanders an ignorant slut. You're going to hear from Senator Sanders here in a moment. Now, the fact that the Republicans are acting certainly appalled and shocked and dismayed that someone would use the tweet machine and make personal attacks, I will certainly agree. You don't really have ground to stand on either. I will agree with that extent with Don Lemon Fruitcake. I will. But they're doing it. And, of course, by doing so, they're giving fuel to the Don Lemon Fruitcake attitude and claim that they are hypocritical. You have to recognize facts, and you have to accept that, yeah, I'm kind of guilty, but I'm still going to do the same thing. The left ever has a problem doing that. See, the Republicans have always had a difficult time. They don't want to seem, quote, uncivil. They don't want to seem operating out of the box. They don't want to see perhaps that they're coloring outside the lines. They don't want to appear to be, well, we're not as bad as those guys. They try to hold themselves up in a different way. That's what they try, generally. And along came Trump, and Trump interrupted everything, clearly. He interrupted the Republican Party, its view, its approach, everything. That is why he was so successful and why he might still be lurking in the wings for a future run. We will come back to that before we wrap up this hour. But again, it's giving ammunition to the left to say, see, you have accused us of hypocrisy, and here you are on the right that you are now being hypocritical. And again, specifically, Reverend Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, the remarks of Don Lemon Fruitcake.
The hypocrisy in all of this is off the charts. No one is saying mean tweets are right or whatever. But the hypocrisy. Senator Kennedy is disturbed by Neera Tanden's name calling. Well, I want you to just listen to some of the names that Senator Kennedy himself was throwing around just today, like neo-socialist, left of Lenin, whack job. That's what he called Biden's Interior Secretary nominee Deb Haaland. Those comments sound pretty personal to me. Name calling is bad, except when you do it yourself. Mean tweets are bad, except when they're Trump's mean tweets.
Yep. See, you knew he was going to put Trump into that. He's got points. Listen, I had to always give the enemy points as well. I mean, when they make a point, I will concede that's a legitimate point. I'm going to give him, believe it or not, Don Lemon Fruitcake points for what he just said. And in quoting Kennedy, I assume he quoted him exactly correctly. I haven't had a chance to check on that, but I will simply accept that as, quote, fact from Lemon Fruitcake. But, there were other senators also challenging these tweets. See, Neera Tanden never apparently thought she'd ever get a chance to have this kind of position. She was a Hillary Clinton supporter. She was with Hillary all the way. And that's why she also didn't like Bernie Sanders. She was with Hillary in the beginning and still is and would be if she were still there. But now that she's nominated to head up Office of Management and Budget, that is such a big position, controlling purse strings for so many things in our government. And she was aware that enough of what she had said were vile and not going to help her cause, especially in front of senators voting to confirm or not confirm. Specifically Republicans, of course. And she did delete thousands of them. Not all of them, and not fast enough, because some of the senators took note of some of the things she had been calling them.
Just a couple of months ago, you tweeted, Republicans don't believe in science. Pretty broad statement that you made there.
Calling Mitch McConnell Moscow Mitch is probably not a very good thing to say.
You've called Republicans criminally ignorant, corrupt, and the worst.
You wrote that Susan Collins is, quote, the worst. That Tom Cotton is a fraud. That vampires have more heart than Ted Cruz. You called Leader McConnell Moscow Mitch and Voldemort. And on and on.
That one line that a vampire has more of a heart than Senator Ted Cruz. I'll give her some points for creativity. This is what we are at this point in this nation. And, of course, you could say it's Trump's fault. No, you can't. As grown adults, you can't continually blame someone else for what you do. And you cannot use that as an excuse for what you do. That is tantamount to children on the playground. He called me a name first, and I called him one back. And then, of course, begins to escalate off the playground that he was going to shoot me, and I shot him for, I mean, some of it has legitimacy. Some of it is predicated upon perceptions and fears, and some of it's up on bias, albeit reference race, religion, gender, whatever qualifications you want to add. Is any of it good? No, it's not. Well, Larry, you're calling Don Lemon, an esteemed anchor at CNN, Lemon Fruitcake. What makes you so different? Well, I'm not. I'm not different. I plead guilty to things like that. Could I do better? Yeah, I could. I could say, Mr. Don Lemon, from now on. I could do that. I choose not to. Now, if I were a standard news anchor, as I'd been for decades, yes, I would, because that is not, if you're doing legitimate news and journalism, you don't throw terms like that around in referring to someone. I may or may not call him Mr. Lemon, but I would not call him by my favorite name for him. But all of this aside, what is appalling to me, and really is not appalling so much as it just a realization that the left still doesn't get it. They never have. They never will. They will go forward from this date, and they will still say, we are not hypocritical. Those guys are. And specifically pointing at Donald Trump.
It is really rich that Republicans suddenly think that mean tweets disqualify a person from serving in our government. Well, a Democratic woman anyway. When they tolerated the former president's Twitter wars for years, even though his tweets incited an insurrection, got him permanently banned from Twitter. Now all of a sudden they care about the mean tweets. This is rich.
This is rich. Yeah, this is rich. Well, the bottom line is, you're wrong to say they incited an insurrection. But he did get permanently banned from Twitter and Facebook and other social media. But I want to remind you, Neera Tanden was not just on the attack against Republicans, one of them being Senator Sanders. You'll want to hear his response when we continue.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Your attacks were not just made against Republicans. There were vicious attacks made against progressives, people who I have worked with, me personally. So as you come before this committee to assume a very important role in the United States government, at a time when we need serious work on serious issues and not personal attacks on anybody, whether they're on the left or the right, can you reflect a little bit about some of your decisions and the personal statements that you have made in recent years?
Yes, Senator, I really appreciate that question, and I recognize that my language and my expressions on social media, you know, caused hurt to people, and I feel badly about that.
I feel badly about what I've done. Again, that's the Biden nominee, Neera Tanden, for Office of Management and Budget. And, of course, questioning her then and accusing her of calling me bad names, and by me he's talking about himself, that would be Senator Bernie Sanders. Said you attack not only Republicans who are and other colleagues of this body that are all friends of mine, but you also attack me. What do you have to say for yourself? Well, I feel bad. I do feel bad. I regret. I said, she didn't feel bad when she wrote it. She still doesn't feel bad about it. She's just saying, I'll give you the perfect excuse, an apology, mea culpa. Can I move on? Can I now be head of the Office of Management and Budget? And as I said, she deleted thousands of her tweets. And one of those folks who were willing to maybe support her, Senator Lisa Murkowski, Republican of Alaska, had been indicating that she would support Neera Tanden for Office of Management and Budget. And then a reporter showed her a tweet that had not been deleted, a tweet directed specifically at her. Murkowski had been tweeting about lowering the corporate tax rate. Neera Tanden tweeted, "No offense, but this sounds like you're high on your own supply. You know we know, and everyone knows this is all garbage. Just stop." Well, when that tweet was presented to Senator Murkowski, she had to admit, "Well, I'm a little shocked. And what does she mean, high on my own supply? What is she referring to?" And she didn't like it at all. So here was one who might be willing to cast a vote on behalf of Neera Tanden, now saying, well, maybe I'm still high on my supply and I can't think to vote. Whatever was meant by that, it certainly was offensive to Senator Murkowski. And, of course, you also have Senator Manchin, Republican of West Virginia, who might have stepped forward and supported her. He got hit by some of those tweets. Senator Mitt Romney, Republican of Utah, and Senator Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, all three of the ones I just named have said, we will oppose her nomination, her confirmation. This should serve as a warning to everyone, be you adult, teenager, or child. These things last forever when you send them out. Now, how many times in the past did you write something down and you hit the word sin and thought, oh, I wish I could pull that back? I think we all have from time to time said, boy, I probably should have done that better. Maybe this is a good lesson for all of us to that extent, but for those who want to be in political circles, who are willing to stand up under scrutiny on a constant basis, maybe it's even more imperative that you consider this. And I would suggest we begin to remind kids. I think too many kids believe that I can put it out there, it can be deleted. You know, there have been some of the apps that came out that said this could be wiped out. Some of them apparently don't get wiped out. And they come back to haunt you, be you applying for college or a job or something like that. So maybe there will be some good coming out of this. We're going to change subjects on the next segment. We want to talk about how the members of the GOP, Trump supporters, whatever you might be considered a domestic terrorist. And Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas will call you out as she did Trump. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Attempts to equate white supremacy to anarchists, activists, and other groups who are opposed to white nationalism and other domestic terrorists ring as hollow today as they did following the alt-right protests in Charlottesville, Virginia. No, there are not good people on both sides.
So there you have it once again, the left pushing the lie that Trump said there are good people on both sides, suggesting that the Klan's members who showed up at Charlottesville, Virginia, the Proud Boys who showed up at Charlottesville, Virginia, that they were all fine people. Not at all what he said. Yes, there were violent neo-Nazis and white supremacists in Charlottesville, Virginia, on one side of that issue as they gathered concerning their removal or defense of a Robert Lee statue. General Robert Lee, to keep it in place or to take it down. There were those on the other side who were against the statue and say it should be removed in today's world. And they came peacefully as well as some of those who came in support of it. They came peacefully. They didn't bring any weapons. They didn't bring anything. They were simply coming to voice their view. But yes, you did have on the one side the neo-Nazis and white supremacists, but you also had on the other side anarchists, Antifa, Black Lives Matter activists who came armed with weapons and helmets, so they came for war. But the point being here is that all of this happened, and what took place at Charlottesville, which did end up leading to the death of a young woman who got run over by a guy racing his car through a crowd. That is all on Trump because he said there are fine people on both sides, referring to the neo-Nazis and white supremacists. That was not his point. It was never his point, but the lie persists. It persisted throughout his entire administration. It persisted through the last campaign. It persists now. Why? Because once you start the lie and you start the train moving, you cannot slow down. You cannot stop it. You cannot detour it. You've got to run right through anything that comes up in front of you. So now, as they have been holding hearings on what happened on the Capitol Hill, January 6th, the rioting that took place, and they're looking for someone to blame, well, of course, Donald Trump. That's why they led to his second impeachment, that he incited an insurrection. There was no insurrection. Was there violence, uncalled for, and wrong? Yes, but it was not an insurrection. But again, the lie is often bigger than the fact, and the more you tell it, the more it gets accepted. Well, let's take just a moment. Let's take just a moment to hear from Trump on what he actually said, even though while folks were still trying to say, well, by people on both sides, you're giving support and favor to the Klan and other white supremacists. Just listen to the statement, please.
You had some very bad people in that group, but you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. You had people in that group, excuse me, I saw the same pictures as you did. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very, very important statue and the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name. You're changing history, you're changing culture, and you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay? And the press has treated them absolutely unfairly. Now, in the other group also, you had some fine people, but you also had troublemakers, and you see them come with the black outfits and with the helmets and with the baseball bats. You had a lot of bad people in the other group.
So that was pretty good description on what took place between the two groups. But they only hear what they want to while they accuse Trump of using a dog whistle to call in the Klan and white supremacists. They ignore the bullhorn he was using and saying there were fine people on both sides, but I'm not talking about the Klan, the Proud Boys, that they should be condemned. And he said they are to be condemned. And then he also pointed out the other side. You cannot label all of them with what Antifa and the anarchists were doing. That would not be fair to those folks. The nation is built on the constitutional right of free speech and peaceful assembly. Peaceful assembly. But what began to happen, of course, got out of control. And if you come to a peaceful assembly gathering and you're carrying baseball bats or sharp objects or tear gas grenades or some other device, and with helmets and shields for yourself and your protection, you're not coming there to have a peaceful demonstration, obviously. And, of course, we continue to have the investigation, as we should, into the Capitol riot of January 6th. Now, I told you yesterday that the Capitol Police claim, and I'm not disputing their number, but their statement is that they had numerous officers injured in various ways. According to the U.S. Capitol Police Labor Committee chairman, about 140 officers were injured during, as he said, the insurrection, including officers with crushed spinal disc, broken kneecaps, traumatic brain injuries. He said some of the officers may never return to duty. Many are showing signs of PTSD. That may well be, and I'm not here to challenge it. I did not like the fact of what I saw, the crowd, the mob, rushing into police lines, pushing them aside, attacking them, spraying them with anything from bear spray to pepper spray, and hitting and pushing past and making threatening remarks to police. No, that is not what we're about. That was wrong, and everyone caught on video doing that should be charged. But don't forget the other lie that came out, and that is a police officer was killed by a Trump supporter. I'll remind you in case you missed it. The mother of that Capitol police officer, Brian Sicknick, has now stated in a report just 3 days ago now, he was not hit on the head. We think he had a stroke. We don't know for anything for sure. So they're waiting for a full autopsy, which is yet to come. But the mainstream media, CNN, NBC, New York Times, all of them rushing forward saying that the police officer was hit repeatedly or at least once by someone with using a fire extinguisher. I reported the same based on the information that was being provided by news sources. And I told you, I don't know for sure what happened. I wasn't there. But it was interesting that no one, with everyone having video of that event, no one had a picture of someone carrying a fire extinguisher to begin with and then striking him with it. The officer died. That's a loss to begin with. But his own brother said, on the date of the event, he said, my brother texted me that night after the event and said, I got pepper sprayed twice, but I'm in good shape. That's the text that he sent his brother. And then he later collapsed in the police station and died. They don't know exactly why. It could have been a stroke or something of that nature. He was honored in the Capitol as one killed during that event. But while I have no problem with honoring him, he was doing his duty to begin with. So let's honor him. But you can't say he was killed now. He is a death that happened. But we had three, maybe four others who also had similar deaths of a health issue, not because they were physically hurt by the other side. The only death, the actual death that could be contributed as a killing would be the young woman who was shot by the Capitol Police guard as she began to crawl through the window, trying to get into the chamber. But yet, we still have many on the left saying this all proves that the members of the GOP are domestic terrorists. Well, to that point, there is a main event happening in Florida, a multi-day rally. If you're going to call them terrorists, you're referring to the Conservative Political Action Conference, representing Republicans far and near, independents, maybe some Democrats, the Conservative Political Action Conference, the CPAC. Normally, it's held in National Harbor, Maryland, but there are too many coronavirus restrictions there. So now it's being held in a perfect place, in Florida. Some are saying already this could be a multi-day Trump rally. Trump is expected to speak. He will be making a presentation. I think it's scheduled for Sunday at the last check I saw. And, of course, they'll be talking about everything going on right now in politics and regarding the COVID relief package and everything else that's on the table. And, of course, you cannot deny that where are we going to be for the next election, the midterm, and then, of course, for the other. When we come back, you'll hear from Mitt Romney and what he thinks is going to happen in 2024. That's coming up when we return.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, I don't know if he'll run in 2024 or not, but if he does,
I'm pretty sure he will win the nomination. I look at the polls, and the polls show that among the names being floated as potential contenders in 2024, if you put President Trump in there, among Republicans, he wins in a landslide.
Wow. That's a direct statement from Senator Mitt Romney, Republican. At least he has an R behind his name at this point, of Utah. Not a great fan of Trump. One-time presidential candidate himself, and really got back into the Senate with Trump's help and then turned on him, but now acknowledging in an interview with the New York Times that Trump could actually, if he runs again, win the Republican nomination. Listen, that's worth hearing again directly from Senator Mitt Romney on that point.
Well, I don't know if he'll run in 2024 or not, but if he does, I'm pretty sure he will win the nomination. I look at the polls, and the polls show that among the names being floated as potential contenders in 2024, if you put President Trump in there, among Republicans, he wins in a landslide.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And for folks who are thinking that they have finally destroyed Trump, that second impeachment, that did him in forever and ever, apparently not. Not even in the view of Senator Romney. And, of course, this CPAC rally underway down in Florida will certainly become more of a Trump rally. There's no doubt about it. That's before he actually steps forward and makes any statements. Donald Trump is still a force inside the Republican Party. And when he goes on the campaign trail, reference any candidates for the midterm election, that'll be the first test to see, does he still have the power? Can they get in on his coattails? And it'll be interesting to see how many want to try to turn away from him, possibly to their peril that they will not win. And that will certainly set the stage for 2024, whether or not he decides to run or back someone else, maybe Donald Jr. But Romney's already conceding, hey, if Trump wants to run, he'll win the Republican Party. Of course, then the point, would he get farther? Would he get to carry the banner again? And of course, the Democrats have Biden now. Harris is in the wings, of course, as a VP. And at one point, maybe the bright star for the Democrats going forward would be New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Until the nursing home scandal. And now allegations of a sex scandal. The nursing home scandal itself, of course, dealing with death. Numbers of those who died in nursing homes in New York State because the nursing homes followed a March directive from the governor that if you have COVID-positive patients, they must stay in your facility. And if the hospital sends you a COVID-positive patient to the nursing home, you must accept them. In other words, put all of them together with the others who are elderly and have other underlying causes. And let's just, maybe it's a new game of the survivor. And it did not play out very well. And on top of that, then they were hiding the numbers as to how many died. They hid the numbers from the Justice Department as they were looking at some of the numbers. They hid them from state legislators in New York. And Cuomo, who might have been riding so high prior to all of this, being praised as a real leader compared to Trump, the investigation, or rather the latest investigation reaction, his approval rating dropping 6 points. 6 points just in the time that word came out last week that he is fudging on the nursing home death numbers. And then you have this allegation from Lindsey Boynton, a former staff aide to Cuomo, who claimed that in 2018, he kissed her on the lips following a one-on-one briefing in his New York City office. And she had previously accused him of sexual harassment in a Twitter thread back in December. Cuomo's denied that, has denied others as well. And, of course, you have Boynton also saying at one point, Cuomo said, let's play strip poker. And she was told, don't really make any noise over this because that's the way it is under Cuomo's office. You're just going to have to accept it. She even talks about a time that Cuomo gave her a tour of his office, smirking, showing off a cigar box. He said, I got this from former President Bill Clinton. She knows what that was, a reference to the affair between Clinton and his then intern, Monica Lewinsky. She said, that little play was not lost on me. I knew exactly what he was doing. And she said others were all around him, the women saying, this is just normal behavior. Cuomo still insisting, I'm not guilty of any of it. Well, he can deny it constantly. But where are the women that always rush forward, as they did with Kavanaugh, that I believe the women? If the women say Kavanaugh was involved in a sex rape club, he must be guilty. What's the difference? Oh, that would be a Republican. This is a Democrat that's been a favored darling to the Democrats. And yet actress and activist Rose McGowan said she is, quote, completely standing by Lindsay Boylan, the former aide. Said, I want to see Cuomo out of office because I believe he did exactly what she claimed. Coming up in the next hour, the Becerra dance. It's kind of funny, and yet it's not. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.